What's up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another Gamecast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everyone.
And today we're going to have some fun with an interesting topic. But before we get there, we kind of want to talk a little bit about some things that happened this week. So as you know, last week, Ubisoft revealed the new Assassin's Creed. And today, during the Inside Xbox show, they showed more video of Assassin's Creed playing on the Xbox Series X. And the game looks great, like really good. It doesn't look, in terms of like graphical power, it doesn't look like it's like head and shoulders above the current systems. I think that we're going to kind of have to curb our enthusiasm, no pun intended, with the in terms of the graphical power for these new systems. They're going to be great in since, you know, 4K and all that, but as opposed to like upscaling to 4K, they're going to start there. However, they're not going to look so great early on, just because it's new hardware, number one, and then two, there's not much of a ceiling to kind of go. I mean, we're hitting the ceiling, basically, is what I mean, in terms of visual, outside of something that's ultra realistic, which mm-hmm. you kind of get into the problem of the uncanny valley there, where things look a little too real, mm-hmm. where like there's no life in the eyes. It looks kind of dead. It's freaky. So you don't want that. You don't want to freak people out. So I think what's going to happen is visually things are going to have to get more interesting, as opposed to going for realism. You're going to have to be more stylized. Think Nintendo. And, you know, and be able to do more with that. What's really cool, though, what they showed is that a lot of these games are able to load very quickly. And that's been something that, for the longest time, has been something that has been bothersome. Not so much in, like, you couldn't enjoy your games because you kind of gotten used to that. But the idea that you can just pop up and play a game and then switch to another game right away and it just happens. There's no, like, this super long, especially for games like Assassin's Creed, where they have to kind of like load the world, if you will, mm-hmm. just to be able to kind of jump into the game and just go. It harkens back to the older games where you had cartridges, you just put them in and played. So I'm really looking forward to that sort of thing. But outside of that, Microsoft showed a bunch of games, some new. A lot of these games are third party, and so they're not exactly exclusives, but it was cool to be able to see them running on the new system. And from what they said, they actually showed gameplay as opposed to a bunch of cutscenes that don't really show us what we're getting. And so that was a lot of fun. That happened earlier today, and they like I said, they showed a bunch of games. But one of the highlights outside of the new stuff was actually being able to see Assassin's Creed in action. And I'm actually looking forward to this one. I've kind of played them off and on over the years. I haven't really beat too many of them because they're too long, yeah. But I like the idea of playing as a Viking, especially a good Viking.
Wait, what do you mean by good Viking?
Well, because typically in gaming, typically in games, outside of a select few, the Vikings are the bad guys. And so you're, you know, kind of like a pirate, right? You're pillaging and doing all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. But the idea that narratively, the Vikings are the good guys. Mm-hmm. And that they have like a bad rap is more interesting to me to being just the Vikings just gonna go and lay waste to everything. Like, I think having a little bit of nuance in the characters mm-hmm. versus just bad or good, I think is really, really cool. I'm not saying that they can't be bad or anything. I'm just saying that typically when there's like pirates, you know, they showed, was it Vampire, The Masquerade? Mm-hmm. So you get to play as a vampire. They showed that. So like vampires, pirates, Vikings, if you will, you're typically a bad guy, and mm-hmm. being able to be a good guy or just pick your path, I think is really cool. Yeah. And then on the fact that you can also be a woman or a male Viking was also really cool too.
Yeah, so like, I totally want to be a shield maiden.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it more so than previous Assassin's Creed. Not to say that the last one was bad. I think was it Origins or Odyssey? I think it was Origins was the last one.
That was in Egypt.
Yeah, that one was really good. So Yeah, so I'm just looking forward to this one, looking forward to playing it and kind of, being a Viking. That's kind of cool. Aside from that, I know I'm late, but I started watching Black Clover, and it's interesting. I like it. I like the fact that it starts off like most anime where, one character has a mad deficit in the world. So like, Naruto is an outcast. This particular character doesn't have any magic in a world full of magic. Everyone has magic. He's the only person that doesn't. But and so like as they go about the story, he's trying his best to learn magic, and they're like, he's like, when I turn 15, I'm supposed to get a these magic book that they kind of select the person. Like they'll go to this big hall and they'll give you your book, and it's supposed to amp your magic. And so he's thinking like, oh, when I get my book, I'll finally be able to do magic. And unfortunately, that doesn't happen. And however, he gets a special magic book that kind of because he's so like determined to help his friend and to be like a good person, and he never gives up. He got a book that has a black clover on it, and apparently that's kind of like I don't want to say demonic, but it's like a in their world it's like a bad thing. Like there's a three clover book that his friend gets that kind of symbolizes that he's going to be the next wizard king. And the main character gets the Black Clover. And so what's interesting about his character is that, or his book, he's able to pull a sword from the book, and the sword negates magic, which is interesting because the entire world lives off of magic. No one really does any fist fighting or anything like that. And so they don't really know what to do with him combat-wise because he cancels all magic. And so he's like slicing through fireballs and stuff as they're fighting, and so he's recognized somewhat, or he's starting to get recognized as someone who's a person of value, because in their world, if you can't do magic or if you have a low amount of magic, you are automatically like a peasant. All the noble people, the noble bloods or whatever, or the kings and queens and that sort of thing, they all have a lot of magic. They're just their family bloodlines, and that kind of splits the hierarchy. And so like, the poor people, they're like, you can only go but so far, and he's proving that him and his friend, they were both orphans. That's also another cliche. They're both kind of proving everyone wrong with one with a crazy amount of magic and one who has a power that no one's ever seen before. And so just recently in the anime, he got a new sword that allows him to absorb magic into his sword and use it as he fights as well, so like canceling magic and absorbing magic. So he's pretty up there in terms of combat ability, and the fact that he worked out and trained so much physically. He's also super fast and stuff like that. So like he's a problem basically, and yeah, it's really interesting. I'm a fan so far, and hopefully it continues. I think it's like I want to say it's in season two. Because, anime is hard to tell. It's like 135 episodes so far, so
Who knows what season that is?
exactly. Like I think Naruto's first one was like 300 or something. So yeah. Yeah, pretty good so far.
Yeah, cool. That's good. That's
So how
good.
about you? Any anime you've been watching lately?
No, I haven't watched any anime. I mean, it's like I'm still in the middle of stuff, but I haven't watched anything. I haven't picked back up on any of the animes that I was watching. I picked up on some other shows, just, trying to get over Vikings. I was just like, I need to get this show out of my system. It's so bad. So I just need to finish it. It's just so arduous. Like, I just feel tired. I feel like I've gone into battle with them. Like I've fought the Saxons 12 times. I'm tired. And I'm on season six and I'm at the point where I no longer wish to watch. It's like I got to a point where I should want to watch. I'm not gonna spoil it for anybody because season six was just released, this year. So I'm not gonna spoil it. But season six starts off with something that you kind of always really wanted from like season one, you're like, wow, this person actually gets what to do, what they want, what they fought so hard for. You're like, yay, I'm happy for you. But I can't be happy for you because I'm literally tired for you. I just want to now cut it off, shut it down, and just pick up the Wikipedia page and just be like, okay, this is what happened. Wonderful. And go about my life. Go back to watching stuff with subtitles, like Terrace House, one of my favorite shows, which for some reason I just haven't had the energy to like watch because, you know, I got to read and everything. And obviously, Tokui-san is no longer on the show because he had some tax evasion problems
Oh,
that he had
wow.
to go and deal with and handle and, you know, deal with his personal life. And I'm like, ah, man, dude. And I just want to watch that. But then again, it's also kind of like hard to watch somebody throw themselves on another human being that's not romantically interested in them. It just kind of breaks a little bit of your soul away. So maybe that's why I haven't picked it back up. Don't know.
Yeah, it seems to be a lot with Korean dramas. There's always like a third party who is throwing themselves at one of the characters, and it just doesn't, it's not working out.
I mean, that's Korean drama for you. K-drama is freaking awesome. Korean drama is so good that I can't explain it. I just can't. They're just really, really, really great at this. Like My Sassy Girl is still one of my favorite movies of all time. It's just an amazing movie. And Windstruck was good too. Moving on from there though. I did pick up on Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist because I think I had stopped on episode 4, so I watched a couple more episodes of that. And I'm like, I like this show because it does kind of remind me of my own life, of like hearing music to life because that's just who I am because I'm a weirdo. I didn't go into some crazy MRI machine and then screw up my brain so that I actually hear people's pain through music. Her life's a little bit different. Don't think it could really happen. However, I do kind of relate to the whole seeing like flash mobs play out in your mind to certain music. That's a real thing for me. But I kind of feel like it's a, I don't want to say low budget, but I'm going to say that. No, not to offend certain people. It's not a low budget, but it's like a depressing version of Kimmy Schmidt. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is still one of the best things that has ever graced our televisions. It's an amazing show. It deals with real life topics and real sad things, but in a very, very comedic way. Real issues that just happen to happen in 30 minutes, and they're amazing. You've got this crazy redhead, you've got crazy Titus, and all of the crazy people involved. And then I kind of feel sometimes that Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist hits on some of those notes, like, you know, Ellie Kemper and Titus as the main characters. And then in this one, you have these two individuals who are like similar. And I'm like, yeah, too close. And it's really sad. It like makes you cry. So I have my own personal feelings about it, but I'm still gonna watch it because, you know, the dude from that a cappella movie was on it. What's his name? Sean Astin. I love him. He's adorable. But yeah, so just watched a couple of things, but nothing really hardcore. Oh, and I've just been playing phone games, so I've been playing Fun Run.
Oh,
And
okay.
yeah, I've been playing Fun Run and dealing with some of the things that go with playing online games. Everybody should know phone games are really like a whole new world, a totally different world than like playing games on your console, which you're like, you know, tied to. But phone games are like out of control, and people on these games are crazy. They're really, really, these people have problems. They do. And
Yes.
kind of tired of dealing with them. I'm kind of tired of dealing with all of the emotion when you just want to play a game and have fun. Like Fun Run is one of the easiest games to just have fun in. You are a little woodland animal. You can be a squirrel, you can be a rabbit, you can be a little bear, you can be a giraffe, you can be a hippo, you can be a toucan, you can be a unicorn, you can be a flaming unicorn. No, you can actually be like a unicorn that's on fire, like a lava unicorn, like for real, no jokes. You can be almost whatever you want to be if you have enough coins. And you're just supposed to run an obstacle course and kill your friends, you know, throw, you know, kill the people who are in the race with you, throw explosives on them, put a bear trap out, throw a saw blade at them, throw two saw blades at them, throw a miniature saw blade at them, throw an extra large saw blade at them, put an explosive trap at them, put a bouncy thing at them so they fly backwards, you know, hit them with lightning, hit them with a magnet, hit them with a shrink wave. Hit them with a bomb. All kind, those are supposed to like be fun little things. You can get your anger out or whatever. It's a fun little game, right? until people start talking. That's the only problem. Okay, you got a little side chat window and people want to talk. People want to ask you for stuff. Can you please send me a gift? Can you please do this for me? Hey, if I send you this, can you do this? Yeah, sure, I'll send you a gift. Next thing you know, they're off your friends list. The game is full of scammers. I had this little boy call, try to jump into my group, invite me into a group race. And I'm like, okay, sure. Are we going to race? Are we going to run the arena? Are we going to run just a regular run, like a regular obstacle course? He's like, hey, can you please send me a gift? I was like, no, I'm sorry. I won't do that because I'm not spending my gems on somebody else. I don't even know you. Oh, well, I'm only 5 years old and I don't have enough gems. I really want a gift. Can you buy me one? No. Like, now I don't feel comfortable. You're five. I know you're not five. No five-year-old I have ever met can type this well. You're not five, but now I feel uncomfortable. I'm old. Second, after that, that's not nice. You know, can you please buy me something? I'm an orphan. My dad's in jail. Wow.
Exactly.
I was like, where are your parents? Like, I said, would you like my sister to adopt you? Is that what you want? Like, because otherwise I'm not sending you a gift. And he keeps forgetting that I've already said no. So he continues to invite me back into the group and says, can you send me a gift? I say no. I'm like, no, stop asking me. And the only reason why I'm leaving him as a friend is because I want to keep reporting him every time he asks me. So the game will finally do something about this kid.
So I was thinking, like, you know, just random people messaging, or, you know, there's people that are spending way too much money, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I didn't know they were actually speaking to you. That's annoying wherever you go. Like, I was playing Fortnite, one of the rare times I play, and having a child in the chat, and would just keep, like, I know you want to communicate and you want to, because you want to coordinate with your team and all this other stuff, but they just don't stop. And it's different from when my kid is like trying to tell me a story and they keep going it's a little different. That's endearing. Even though it can get annoying after a while, but it's not like, hey, can we go over there? Hey, what are you doing? Do you have that gun? Oh, that's a cool gun. And like just over and over, it's like, dude, take a breath. Like, is this your first video game? Like, calm down, please.
Yeah.
And then asking for stuff. Yeah, you're nicer than me.
I mean, like, that situation was just like, but there are other people, there are actual like scammers out there that'll like trick you into giving them something. So I know the report button, like, you know, you can report cheaters and stuff. Like, you can tell when somebody's cheating. You're like, it doesn't even look like they're running the same race with you, but all of a sudden they win. And you're like, where were you the whole time? Like, where were you the entire race? I didn't see you. And I saw you in the beginning, and then your character stopped moving. And then now you're literally at the end of the race before I was even halfway done. Like, what, you know, what's going on here? So you can like spot a cheater. You can also spot somebody that you know is like, that has multiple people in the same race, and then make sure that they disconnect so that they have a better chance of winning the race to like rise the rank. So there's all kinds of ways you can spot a cheater, but like the scamming button, I think, just got added because they weren't, I guess they didn't have to deal with that before. Now you have people who are like becoming friends. You know, you can add people as friends, but now they will literally say to you, like, you'll get into your group outside of your actual team. Your team is full of 50 people. You can run with anyone you've made friends with, though, in the game. So you can have a four-person group. And then next thing you know, you're in a group with somebody, and you're like, oh, hey, you know, we ran together. We've been running together for, like, 3 days, and we've been winning together, right? And then that person will be like, oh, hey, can you please, like, send me this? Like, send me this gift. I'll send it back to you because, like, something about gifting yourself. Like, you can gift yourself in this game. That's what I didn't understand. Like, apparently it's what people are doing. They're like, oh, can you please send me this gift? Because if I buy it for myself, I won't get this item. But if somebody sends it to me, more than likely I'll get this item, right? So, and that makes sense because there's different types of gifts that go with different types of seasons. So therefore you might get a different outfit. You might get, you know, something like that. And you're more likely to get the better item if someone sends it to you as a gift than if you buy it yourself. And typically in that situation, somebody will send the gift to you and then you just send them another one, right? But like I said, some of these people are like, oh, send me this. And then you send it to them and then they disappear.
Yeah, that's, yeah, yep. Totally so, understand that.
yeah, it's crazy. And it's like, and then you have to, so in this game, the one cool thing that they've done is that you're not allowed, you can only change your name once. So you can't be go in there and keep changing your username so no one can find you. No, they can find you. And so you just have to, you know, keep reporting someone to the point where, like, the game actually recognizes and they can, you know, remove that account. But anyway, yeah, so I just, the only reason why I'm having my issue with Fun Run at this point is because I actually just tried to put it on my iPad so that I could Twitch it. And it, like, deleted itself from my iPhone. And so now I can't play on my iPhone. And the iPad's really too big to play. So now I'm like, maybe I won't play this game anymore. Done it. Anywho, that's my week.
Awesome. I was going to say, when you were talking about, in terms of, like, feeling like you want to watch something, there's one thing I noticed that happens with me with, like, Netflix is, like, there's stuff in my queue that I really want to watch, but I have to be in the mood for.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, is that the same thing with you? Because, like, there'll be something like, I know if I start watching this, I'm going to have to finish it. And I just not, I don't have the, like, I don't know if I have the energy to kind of dedicate to, like, where this is going to put my mind space. Like, I don't know. And so there's things that are in my queue that are there for, like, forever.
Yeah. I'm the same. I mean, I think everybody is the same. Like, I have to dedicate a certain amount of time to watch RuPaul's Drag Race, okay? It has to be done. Am I going to catch it on Friday? Maybe not, but it has to be done. I have to dedicate time to RuPaul's Drag Race. Now, mind you, it's a series, so sometimes I like to, like, bulk the episodes up, maybe two in a row. Insecure just started back up, so I'm like, oh, Insecure is on. Let me watch it, or let me, you know, catch it on HBO Go. Right. You know, this and the other. I'm not really feeling this season of Insecure right now because I just feel like everything that's happened in the first four episodes could have happened in one, but, you know, whatever. that's just how I feel. But yeah, some things just take a certain amount of energy that I'm not ready for, like 90 Day Fiancé. You know, I watched that show. But I was like, Sunday, I just don't have 2 hours to dedicate to you right now. I don't. It's not in me. It's not. It's just not. Just not this Sunday, maybe another Sunday, especially because 2 hours of 90 Day Fiancé is really only 15 minutes of actual show. Like, the rest of it is after the break on 90, coming up on 90 Day Fiancé. Next week, I'm not, like, there's no real stuff that happens. You know?
Yeah, and that's rough. I mean, that, and also, I hated that when watching, like, because I was watching The Walking Dead when they were airing and that type of stuff. But then going back to, like, okay, I'm going to watch this on the streaming, whatever, and not having any commercials. And so, like, you know, there's the big break, the big thing that's going to, you know, you have to typically wait 15 minutes or whatever. And then it's like, no, it's here. And so there's, like, a, I don't want to say spoiled, but it's like, it's kind of changed how I think about watching things. Like, I don't want to see a bunch of commercials ever again. Mm-hmm. And then, like, on the flip side, there's this debate about how it's better to not have, like, for Netflix, they'll spend all this time making a show and they'll just put all the episodes out. And then people watch it or binge it in a weekend and then talk about it for that weekend or that week and then don't talk about it anymore. Whereas something like The Mandalorian, because it came out weekly, it was talked about for like a month and some change. And like, so the idea of, like, you just go through content so quick, but I'm like, you know what? Just give it all to me. Cause typically I'm not going to watch it that fast anyways. Like, there's so many things to do. And like I said, I have to have the energy, just give it all. So when I'm ready to watch it, I can watch it. That's what I did with The Mandalorian. I kind of waited. So
yeah, I agree. I mean, I binge watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It's like, why not? Like, they're going to, it's, you know, they release it on, what's it called? Amazon. It's just like, oh, by the way, it's all here. I was like, yay, let's do it.
Yeah,
gives you something to do. Anywho,
but yeah, moving right along, so just wanted to talk about a few things that happened this week and things that we're watching, and, you know, hopefully if it's something that you find interesting, then, you know, you could definitely check it out. I recommend certain places to stream. Right now for me has been Crunchyroll, just because they, not to say that they're better than Funimation or anything like that, but using the app and such, they've been really, it's really easy and it's really cheap compared to any other places that you're trying to stream if you want to actually pay. You can watch it for free, but there's commercials, and we just talked about why that sucks. So I usually subscribe every other month, or like when I have time to actually binge watch something. And so it's also cool because it has like a nifty queue that kind of pulls the anime that you like. And so I was like, you know what, Black Clover is similar to something else. Let me try it. And then I end up, you know, watching many episodes. So I'm not getting paid by Crunchyroll or anything like that. I'm just saying I personally find it pretty cool. And all the other shows that we talked about, you know, go check them out if you haven't. And you know, we'll talk about them later. You know, if that's of any interest. Moving on to our topic though, today we want to talk about or kind of debate about who we would want to see in a fight, who we would pay to see in a fight. And it could be from anything, from anime to video games, movies. We just want to see. And some of these choices are interesting. Some of them are hilarious. And some of them might have been done already. And if you watch, I watch the show on YouTube, Death Battle. They do that a lot. We're not doing Death Battle stuff, though. We're not going over, this is just for fun. We're not going to go over anybody's stats for the most part. We're just going to say like how we feel about these characters and kind of just, you know, just kind of goof about them a little bit, be a little nerdy here or there, but for the most part, just have fun. And so my first one is rather silly. It's RoboCop versus Terminator. Now, in this fight, I think it's funny, these two metallic dudes to punch each other. But I think that what would be cool, though, kind of the clashing of their worlds, is how they would interact and how they would have to figure out how to defeat one another. I can see Terminator getting a big of a, I guess, having an advantage because he's not human, and so, you know, ripping his arm off and whatnot, or puncturing his armor isn't going to hurt as much as it would RoboCop. On the flip side, RoboCop has fought, you know, different robots throughout his films and has come out on top because he uses his brain. Him being a cop and whatnot and getting his memories back, he's rather smart. And so it would be interesting to kind of see how he would go about taking on the Terminator. One another interesting wrinkle that kind of comes up in his films also is the fact that he doesn't like collateral damage. So because RoboCop isn't the Terminator, Terminator doesn't care, right? Terminator's like, I'm killing everybody.
That's his job.
Exactly. Hence the name Terminator, right? And so he's killing everybody. But the RoboCop, that's not his bag. He's not trying to kill everyone, or many people at all. So he's gonna try to use his head, but also try to protect any bystander. You know, try to move the fight to a certain location, where things aren't, you know, there's not a whole lot of collateral damage. And so I think it'll be interesting to kind of see him go up against the Terminator and try to figure out what he can use to his advantage, if he can get his hands on stronger weapons. And then on the flip side, the Terminator having to figure out like, okay, this guy isn't human. So my bullets aren't working. My bullets are bouncing off of him. The shotgun that I carry everywhere isn't working. So I'm just gonna have to beat him to death, I guess. And so, but getting close to him, you know, because obviously RoboCop has cybernetics is, you know, as well. He is not going to be just a pushover. He's not going to punch him and then he flies away or whatever. Like he's going to have to actually wrestle a little bit. And so, that being said, I do think Terminator would win ultimately if it comes down to it, just because of him being ruthless and just like I'll do whatever I can to kind of, you know, get this to work. And once RoboCop gets seriously injured, his a level of ability kind of goes down and. You know, but still, it'll be kind of funny to see.
Aww.
I think so.
Aww. Makes me sad.
Well, it's. I mean, they don't have to kill each other, but it would be interesting to kind of see in a, you know, in a film, treatment. You know, obviously they're gonna write it in a way that you're gonna see the strengths of the both characters, and so. Kind of putting them in a predicament where you don't know who's going to win. Because it's easy to kind of say, okay, Terminator's going to win. He's going to rip his head off. He's going to move on and go after John Connor. But to write it in a way that, like, yeah, you know what I mean? He's like, you're not John. Get the hell out of the way.
I mean, we're paying for it. The point is, he has to be programmed to give us a show. I'm sitting there with my money on the sidelines, like, well, technically, I don't think that we're in the same arena just because we already know what Terminator's abilities are. Like, if he feels like the audience is actually not helping the situation, which is him winning before he can go find John Connor, then we're all dead. So I the fight would be staged in a completely different place, like Mars, and they would fight it out, and Terminator would do what he needs to do to kill RoboCop because he has another mission outside of us. We're still paying. We're still watching via satellite imagery.
Yeah, and then it's also interesting, like, are we going to do it like Hunger Games? Are we going to drop weapons in? Because certain weapons kind of switches, you know, in terms of who can do what. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because the Terminators died from regular humans before. Granted, they had, you know, lava, or they had some type of compressing machine.
Did he die? Was that redone in a timeline? I just want to know, because I still haven't seen Terminator. So.
Oh, my gosh! Yeah, Terminator, especially Terminator 2, is great. Actually, if you want to watch Terminator, the first, the second one, and then the most recent one, the other ones in between, just, they don't exist. I don't even know what I'm talking about. What? Yeah, so those two Terminators, and then the one that just came out recently, I want to say last year, those ones you should watch. Those are pretty good. But yeah, definitely Terminator 2. And in that one is interesting because he's a good guy in that one. And then the last one. But yeah, that's my first pick. What about you?
So I'm going to say what everybody's already going to say, and I'm only saying it because everybody's saying it. But Goku versus Superman is still something that you cannot say that you wouldn't pay to see it. So even though people have talked about it already, the argument is who would win the fight. I don't care about who would win the fight. That's not why what we're discussing. It's what we'd pay to see. And I will put my money on Goku and Superman. You can't tell me it won't be entertaining. As long as they, you know, let's just hope they can't speak the same language, because I don't want them to both say, oh, we're both trying to save the world, and then they stop fighting. Because, you know, they're like good people. Because Superman would be that type of person. Superman would be like, oh, I don't want to fight you. Like, we're both doing the same thing. Goku will be like, no, let's just fight. Let's just fight. We won't kill each other. Let's just fight. I like doing this. It's really fun. Like, in that voice, too, because that's his voice. That's Goku's voice. But
yes.
But yeah, so of course I'd pay to see that. Like, Spirit Bomb. And then everybody knows Spirit Bomb, it's going to hit Superman. He's going to, like, go into the earth where there's lava. He's not going to die because nothing can kill him. And then he's just going to come back with, like, his little vesty thing. What is that thing that he wears? The cape? His cape is not the same stuff that protects Doctor Strange. I don't know what his cape is made out of. It's not the same Doctor Strange cape. So his cape is going to be gone. And we'll be like, aw, your security blanket's gone. But he's still got the S on his chest. And he's like, yeah, man, I got this. Let's go. So yeah. I'd still pay to see it.
I would definitely pay from far away, because
yes,
the debris and whatnot is just, it's just killer. But yeah, I think it really doesn't matter. It comes down to the writer in that sense.
Yeah.
In terms of who would win, so it'd be more interesting just to see them fight. What I would like to see, though, is maybe if they were being controlled, so that way there's no because, you know, Goku does this thing where he doesn't really, I'm not going to show you my all right now. I'm just going to kind of, you know, we're just going to fight, and then I'm going to go Super Saiyan, or, you know, God Super Saiyan, or whatever the case may be. And then Superman, he always pulls his punches. He very rarely is like, I'm just going to go, you know, go for broke or whatever. And so to have them, like, being controlled, maybe mind controlled or something, where Superman thinks, like, I have to kill Goku.
So they're going to go Majin, is what you're saying? They're both going Majin.
That would be freaking awesome, though. Yeah. Like, we could really see, you know, and it would also be interesting, kind of like an experiment, to kind of see if Goku, you know, because that's the kind of the debate here in terms of their realms of reality, and do the same rules apply? Because I'm thinking, like, does Goku's ki abilities, do they count as magic? Because Superman is susceptible to magic. Or do they not count as magic? Do they count as like a magic beam, or not a magic beam, but just a laser beam? And in that sense, he would kind of brush that off. So it's like, mm-hmm. That would be really cool if they went at it, and it's like, oh, wow, like, there's some things that I'm not, you know, I didn't expect to see with this fight, you know, because granted, with Dragon Ball Z, you know, they kind of fight, like, really fast, and they're just punching each other.
Yeah.
But they, you know, apparently know how to fight, like martial arts.
Yeah.
So that would be another factor as well. Like, is Goku gonna be dodging Superman's punches and you know, or are they gonna just hit each other back and forth? Like, I would pay to see that. I would totally pay to
Yeah,
see that.
we'd all pay to see it. Shoot. And then if they go Majin, they're not gonna stop. That's the best part. Because if they stop, this is the thing. If they decide to fight and then they're like, okay, we're done, we stop. Goku, and then they decide to have another round. Goku wins the next round automatically just because of the way Dragon Ball Z is written. Goku doesn't lose the second fight. Like, or at least Vegeta don't. You know what I mean? Like, you don't lose the second fight. That's what Saiyans do. When Saiyans go to recuperate, you know, they eat their meal and they go to sleep. And then they wake up and they do their stretches, and then they're automatically stronger than the opponent they just fought.
That's nuts. I wish I could do that. Like,
We
oh,
might
are you?
be able to.
Shoot. Oh my
Some
gosh.
proprietary blend injection may give us those powers. Done now. Who's next?
Let's see. I would like to see so number one from the Kids Next Door versus Dexter. Yeah, this would be a really cool fight. Because they both make machines, but just kind of like in a different way. You know, number one, they're all about wood. Like, you know, they're from their treehouse to all their weapons. It's I forgot what they call it in the show. But it's like a wood machinery that they use. And then Dexter obviously is a mad scientist,
Yeah.
who, you know, it you know, as long as Dee Dee's not in his lab, he should be able to cook up something pretty interesting. And so to have them fight one another would be really cool and really probably really funny. I could see Dexter pulling out like amazing arsenal to kind of like combat number one, and then number one just being kind of smart, you know, he's a leader and whatnot. But then at the same time, they're both kids, and so they're gonna do what kids do. There's always a moment where they kind of break, I don't want to say the fourth wall because they're supposed to be children, but they kind of break
Right.
down and they kind of do like this almost like a hand slappy thing, like I was just shooting at you, but now I'm slapping, or like you know, you hurt my feelings, and now I'm gonna go pout over here. Like they're still children because of that, even though they're like, you know, I have to save the world or I have to defeat this opponent, and so they get serious. They also have moments where, you know, kind of like the Rugrats in a sense, where like
Yeah.
they're smarter than normal babies, but they're still babies. Or not, maybe not Rugrats. That's a bad example. Stewie from Family Guy. Like
I love him.
he's super intelligent, but then he does things like, you know, like mama, mama, mommy,
Yeah,
mama.
very baby,
You know what
very
I
baby.
mean? So that would be cool, from a visual standpoint, and just to see what they kind of create. But it would also be cool to see like how they handle facing someone like that, you know, that's still immature. I think that would be bananas,
Yeah.
like all over the place.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. Look, you're so young and you have so much power, I'm scared.
Right.
So I have a three-way fight that I want to see. Raiden versus Thor versus Storm. Not really sure who would win, to be honest. I mean, Thor's a god, so I would just give it to him, but I'd still pay to see it. I would. I'd still pay to see it. Like, maybe drunk Thor. You know, like Fat Thor from Avengers. Like that version of Thor versus Raiden versus, because it was like, you know, he never needed his hammer anyway. You're just the god of thunder, just do your thing. Raiden being the god of lightning and Storm just knowing how to do stuff. So I think that people would really underrate Storm in this. It'd be like, A, she's a girl. B, she's just Storm. She's bound to the confines of her mutancy. You know what? We don't really know the confines of her mutancy, okay? All right, you don't know what this girl's really, really capable of. She can do some crazy things. She can bring up a fog. She can bring up she can freeze people. She can do what she wants with a roll of her eye.
She's
Yo.
pretty freaking strong, and she's
Yo.
decent hand-to-hand combat too.
Exactly. Her hand-to-hand combat is on, like, it's on some other stuff. She's on fire. The girl can fight. That's why I use her in Marvel versus Capcom. She does
Yeah,
things.
she's quite awesome, and she's a leader. So it 'cause she's led the X-Men before, so she's
Exactly.
smart. She knows that, you know what, and plus she knows Thor. So she's like, you know what,
Yeah.
I can't face him strength-wise.
Right.
And then lightning's definitely not gonna work. But
Against him.
maybe I can freeze him.
Maybe. I mean, she does have other capabilities. She's the only one. She has the water power. You know, the Raiden and Thor, you know, they've got thunder, they've got this, they've got that. I've seen Raiden fight in a storm, so I don't really know what he's. I don't know what's under there. I really only fight with Raiden, you know, in the video games, and I've watched him in the movie and stuff like that. And then I played Mortal Kombat when it was like the one where you have to go through all the levels and it's more of a story game instead of just like fighting.
Okay.
Time out. And so it was like, okay, there's more behind what it is that he does. So yeah, I get it. And then you want to be in a temple and everything. So I know you got the power of the gods behind you and stuff, whatever. But I'm form. She done ran a country. She done ran like two nations. Remember, she was married to Black Panther for a little while, and then, you know, it didn't work out and they got divorced.
Apparently
And
they're back together now, so
they get back together again?
yes.
I kind of need these people to stop messing with my heart.
Yeah, they get back together. It's the reasoning of their div well, I'm not gonna go. I'm not gonna be super nerd, but yeah, they get back together. It's great. So yeah.
Okay, well, good. Maybe she can finally have some children. So, but I'm
Oh
like,
gosh.
I'm just saying she deserves happiness. So yeah, I would love to see, I would pay to see them fight because I would pay to see how her brain works against these two dudes who are probably just going to go at it because they're both huge. And she's kind of like, maybe I'll do a little Hunger Games and I will hide until it's time for me to come out. Oh, Lord. Nah, she ain't going to do that. She's going to go on a huge show. You know how Storm is. She will fly up in the middle of the sky and be like, I got this. Watch me now.
It's gonna be interesting. I think Raiden has a decent chance as well, just because
Yeah.
he can be totally intangible. Like he can be kind of all lightning at one point,
Yeah. Yeah.
and ability to teleport and stuff like that. Like that
Yeah.
kind of makes him, and everybody can fly. So,
Everybody.
you know that, yeah, that would be an interesting, you know, I mean, I think Thor has the biggest advantage, but I think that
Thank
it would be
God.
fun to see, you
He's a
know.
Norse god.
You
I
know,
mean,
that would be
he's
cool.
a god. So, I mean, Storm's really the only one who's not a god. She's the only one who's really bound by the confines of Earth, no?
Right. Yeah. She's the
So
only one.
she's coming in as the underdog. So, but yeah, I would pay money. Yeah.
Let me see. So my next one, we're gonna go to two different franchises here. We got Dumbledore from the Harry Potter series. And we have Gandalf from The Lord of the Rings. And first of all, this just looks funny, right? Like this, because they look so similar. Like not
Look,
super similar, but people like confuse them all the time.
everyone thinks they're everyone always thinks they're all Ian McKellen. Like that's just it. It's
Yeah.
just so funny. Now, oh wait, yeah, you're just talking about Dumbledore in general. You were not talking about like Dumbledore from the first movie who never existed anymore
Right,
afterwards.
right, right. But yeah, and
Yeah,
then also like you know, especially when he became the Gray, like he th then it was definitely like, oh, okay, like I see the similarities. It would be cool to kind of see the different magic at play and what they do. I think that the Lord of the Rings, or you know, Gandalf's magic is a little bit more, it's for fighting. But in the Lord of the Rings, you don't really see him do a ton of magic, which kind of was a bummer for me, because I
In
was
the
expecting,
film.
yeah, in the films, in the books is different, and
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not gonna go to the books, just you know, just like a visual thing, and then Dumbledore, so like he's done more magic, he's done more things, but it wasn't a ton of fighting,
Right.
and the, you know, there's this idea of like, you know, like do I have to say it? In, you know, incantation first. Do I have to point my wand? What happens if I lose my wand? Like,
Yeah.
and then you know, Dumbledore can't fight. Like, well, at least I don't think he can fist fight. Whereas, Gandalf, he's gone hand to hand, or not at least wand to
Yes.
sword.
Well,
You know,
he has definitely gone staff to some other
there you
item.
go, staff to sword. He, you know, fighting orcs and smacking the hell out of them, right? So, he's able to, he can multitask. He can
Yeah.
multi, you know, he has options, if you will. Whereas Dumbledore, I think, you know, you take his wand away, I don't know what he can do.
You know what? And I wonder if that's just in because I know in Harry Potter, there's other things that can be done without your wand, but your wand is the main focus of how you do energy because it's based off of old magic ideas that you always needed a magic wand to do your magic when you actually don't.
Right.
Like, but I can't, I don't remember because I forgot. I haven't read the Harry Potter books for so long. The last Harry Potter book I read was in 2009, 2010. So I cannot re I honestly cannot remember 2010. I think they may have explained some magic that can be done without your hands outside of like mixing potions and doing things like that. But you know, like the kids, they learn how to, they realized they were magicians when they were kids. They didn't have their wands then. Like the
Right.
one, especially like muggles and stuff like that, they were able to do things without. I think even what's his face was like that. Snape.
Yeah, and I mean the fact that they could even go to the wizard, wizard world, it's you have some your there's capabilities there. And it's just like we've never seen him in terms of dueling a wizard not have a wand. And even in the expanded literature and such and stuff like that, it's always with a a wand. And so it would be interesting to see if like if Gandalf knocks his wand away from him and he's still able to throw a fireball or maybe use a cloak or something to kind of, there's other tools at play. There's other things that he could use. And then also the environment. I think that would be interesting as well. Because if they fight in Harry Potter's world, I think there's some things that would kind of throw Gandalf kind of off. And vice versa as well, in terms of how the rules and how things kind of play out. But yeah, I would totally see them fight. That we might have to break for intermission. They're kind of old.
They're old.
They're old, but after that, as long as no one, pops a hip, we're good.
I'm hey, because we are all about physical therapy, but really we're just about, maintaining a certain balance. Tai Chi for old people, it's low contact, that kind of stuff. So,
There you go. Yeah.
I'd pay to see that. Definitely, that is a fight I'd pay to see. All right, so I've got another one on here. Everybody knows how much I love Sesshomaru, and so I'm never going to stop saying it, but I would pay to see Sesshomaru do anything, honestly, but I'd also pay to see him fight Dante. Now, I don't know as much about Dante, to be honest, and I'm going to tell you this because when Devil May Cry came out as a video game, I played it. I don't know what level I got to, but I was like, you know what? And it wasn't that I just quit, like, oh, it was too scary for me. Again, PlayStation 2 existed, and it wasn't mine. It was my brother's. And so, like, when he would rent these games and whatever, and he was playing it, and I was like, okay, am I ever going to get a chance to play? No, I'm just going to sit here for the next 3 hours and watching him. So I never really got a lot of opportunity to play it. Then I did play it, and then I was like, yeah, you know, certain games I don't like playing by myself. This ended up being one of them, and I never went back to it. Then I tried to watch the anime. Dumbest mistake ever. I think I got six, seven. I don't even know how I managed to get that many episodes in. I was like, what are you trying to do? It was trying to be Cowboy Bebop. It was, except they weren't in space. It was. They were trying, they were like, they had their little apartment where they did like bounties. And I was like, I can't watch. I don't know if you saw it, but I couldn't do it. So the point is, I don't really know what Dante's abilities are. I just know he's half demon. And he has a sword. Sesshomaru has a sword. Sesshomaru is full demon. Let's go. Let me show me what you're working with. I need to know. I'm interested.
I need you to clarify when you say show me what you're working with. I'm gonna need you to
There you
since you
go.
say
There you go.
you say you're paid to see him do whatever. Like I'm like, yeah, I need you to kind of or at least let me know so I can bounce. Like you
They
just let me
both
know.
have swords. I'm here to see a fight. Let's go.
That would be kind of cool. And it makes I know a little bit more about Dante and his abilities. That would be a really good fight. I think that would dope, especially when Dante kind of like doubles out, like he does his double trigger and he gets fully powered at that point. With it, I think that would be that'd be awesome. And the fact that Dante uses like multiple weapons pretty well, that would be a solid fight.
I think it would, you know what it reminds me of? Remember in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where you have Zhang Ziyi fighting Michelle Yeoh,
Amazing fight.
right? And Michelle Yeoh's got like she's using every item she can find. And Zhang Ziyi, she's like, look, I got the one green sword, girl. Come at me, bro. Come at me. So I gotta see that happening because, oh, I'm sorry, I also didn't clarify. I want Seishomaru missing his left arm. So this is just right arm Seishomaru. He still doesn't have his left arm Seishomaru. Because Seishomaru with his left arm, he's just not beatable. Like, he's just a totally different person. And that's emotional. Inside of him, something changed. And plus, if he uses the sword that came out of his body, the left arm sword, if he touches you with it, you're dead. You can't even live. You can't survive. It'll kill you.
I don't know. Like, if he doesn't have his arm, he might be taking a loss there. Dante's probably, he's pretty dope.
He can still turn into his dog demon, and he still has poisonous breath. He still has poisonous talons. He still has all the other stuff that he can do. Like, when I saw that episode, well, I mean, you know, when he goes from being a regular demon to a dog, back to a demon to a dog, like, it doesn't even take any energy out of him. It seems like it's not like spatial resources are being depleted. Like, right, he's just going back and forth, and he's like, come at me. Like, that one demon that, like, had him try to wrap him up in, like, that snake arm of its thing, trying to take his power, and then he was like, oh, well, then I'll just turn back into a human. Because he was a big dog demon at that time, and they had him wrapped up, and they're like, you can't get out of this, and then he just turned back into a human and, like, slid right out. And he was just standing there like, what next, bruh? What next? So I got to... You know, I just want to see what tricks he's got up his sleeve, because I know I mentioned this before. I mentioned it last week. Seishomaru, the type of person that he is, he's kind of lazy. Like, you see him on the show, you see what he fights, but he doesn't ever really go full on. He really does reserve what he's got inside, and he waits until you tick him off to the point where he's like, fine, I'll show you. And so I can see Dante shooting him and stuff and trying to, like, annoy him and things like that. Like, why are your ears pointy, dude? Like, what's that big furry boa you got around your, like, what, like, did you get your fashion sense from Zsa Zsa Gabor? What's going on here, dude? And then finally, Seishomaru being like, look here, you little half-demon brat. And I'm sure he would use much more harsh language, because if you watch it in Japanese, he uses very foul language.
Yeah, he could be quite mean if he wants to be.
He could. So anyway, if the fight goes south, then I'm giving him his left arm back. Because Dante, I don't care about you.
Okay. All right.
One more
bias.
No bias. Yeah, no bias. One more thing. I'd like to throw Nemea in there from whatever that game is Nemea came from. I think it's a Capcom game.
I think so.
But yeah, you know, he's apparently half demon too. I found him out when I was playing Warriors Orochi, and then I researched what game he came from, and I was like, oh snap. But I never took it upon myself to go and actually play the game. But yeah, I'd throw him in there too. You know, we got these little white haired half demon thing going on. I want to see what he does, because I play with him in the game, cause he's like one of my favorite people, and he's pretty strong. He just takes his, like, trident and just throws it, and then everything blows up, and then he can just walk away from a fight. So I kind of want to see that happen.
Awesome. I think, let me see. My last fight was Yujiro Hanma versus Akuma. Now, Hanma is Grappler Baki. He's his dad. He's basically called the world's strongest beast in that anime. Mm-hmm. Grappler's entire existence is basically to fight him and beat his dad, him and his half-brother. And no one in the history of the anime has ever beat him in a fight. And when I say never beat him, I mean not even close. I think he was happy because his son was able to maybe like bust his lip maybe once. I don't even think that. Like, he was like hitting him in the face. And just to tell you how strong he is. So throughout most of the anime and the new one even, he is fighting all these different people, Baki. And what's cool about Baki is that when he fights them, he learns their abilities. He learns like their techniques and stuff like that. And he gets stronger by fighting. And he also has his dad's strength in terms of like punching and stuff. And so he's fought all these people, all these tough fights, and he finally, like, his dad shows up, because his dad is, like, rich. Like, he was a mercenary for a long time, and so his dad shows up. He's basically like, you're 18 now, or however old you are. Show me what you've learned. And so Baki is, like, running and punching him and stuff like that, and he's just standing there watching, and then he slowly walks over. Now, mind you, Baki's still punching him. So he's walking over while he's getting kicked in the face and stuff, and he's like, "I am so upset with you guys. Like, you should have shown him so much more. I expected more from you, and all this other stuff." And then he just swats him away, like banana stuff in terms of strength. He would go into a country, and take over by himself. Like that's the type of mercenary he was. They would pay him to stage a coup or whatever, and it would just be him, and he would kill armies. And then you have Akuma. And while Akuma hasn't had a ton of, I guess, experience in terms of animes, like, whereas, the other guy, we've seen him a lot. Akuma has just mostly been the fighting games, a few anime, and then some comics. But Akuma is pretty beastly himself. I mean,
He's a demon.
his strength is crazy. His rising demon move is bananas. And he doesn't really care. He's looking for the strongest opponent. He killed his own master. Like he's not someone you mess with.
Cross the
Like
street if you see him on the other side.
exactly. This would definitely be all the Wu-Tang warnings. Protect your neck. He's nothing to F with. Like all of that. Like just. So I would love to see these two spar, and I think it would be over very quickly, unfortunately, but. It would be so good for those few minutes because someone's dying. Like they're not
Someone's
gonna
gonna
stop.
die.
They're gonna feel each other out a little bit, and then it's gonna the I think that part of the earth is gonna explode. Like that's what's gonna happen. But I would like to see it. They're so similar in stature and like they're menacing. Where like they walk into the room and people are like, okay, this is something different. Especially when Akuma goes, like Super Akuma, like when he really goes out, it's different. He's different. And so I would like to see that. I would totally pay to see that.
Yeah, I'd pay to see that. I would. And it would be one of those, like, you paid like $600 to sit in the back row. You paid like $7,000 to sit in the front row. And minutes later, it was over. You blinked your eye and you missed part of it. You're like, oh, and you're trying to ask other people, wait, 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 wait. Can you explain it to me? Just tell me what I missed. I blinked. I blinked.
It's like,
And
oh, there's so much blood.
yeah, because you paid all that money. You wore a fur coat to sit in the front row, and then the blood got splattered all over you. So
Such
you're
a
like,
rookie
this is what I
move.
paid for. This is what I paid for. I paid for this. I'm not going to wash this coat ever.
You need to
Like,
have those those screens like when the people go to see
yes.
Gallagher,
Yes.
like he smashes the fruit. You need one of those screens.
Those. Yeah, you need one of those. That is accurate. Okay. So I actually do have two more. One that everybody should want to see is Rogue from the X-Men versus Hulk, from the Avengers. So I just say this because Rogue's a badass, and honestly, I don't really think that the other X-Men characters that she fights, like on X-Men, really are. It doesn't make sense to me. What my point is that Rogue is extremely powerful. I don't want to, she's not all powerful. She's not the Phoenix. You know what I mean? She's not the Phoenix Force. But she done absorbed all this stuff from Miss Marvel, okay? She's strong as heck. All right? The only problem is that her brain is a little messed up sometimes. So I just always felt when I was watching 5 seasons of this show that. And not just her, a lot of the X-Men. They get their tails whooped for almost no reason. You guys are supposed to be mutants, you're supposed to be strong. I just don't get it. My point is, she being like my favorite character, I never really felt like any of her fight scenes were really justified. Like they just didn't come out great. And I mean, there was a cool some cool things that happened when she took some people's powers and then she flipped out, but that's not actually cool. She'll flip out and go crazy. And I'm like, no, I want to see her beat the tail off of somebody. Now, mind you, Hulk can handle it. He can handle it. So I want to see them fight. When he goes off on his little world and he doesn't realize that he's fighting a nice girl, I just want to see what they're capable of.
Sounds like a horrible date. Like
I
it's
mean,
just
it could have been Jacob, but that's the thing. You don't know what you're getting when you date the Hulk. You have what's her face? You have Black Widow or whatever her name is sitting there like, let me sing you a lullaby. Next thing you know, he's like slapping her back and forth, like he can't calm down. It's not working. It's not working. So I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, maybe Hulk, you know, new Hulk from the later Avengers, new Hulk, he's wearing his glasses and everything, and he's like, no, I'm good, I'm good in this form, I'm conscious. Maybe he's really not. Maybe he lost it. Maybe salt is his trigger, and you gave him a steak, and you were like, the girl sitting across from him, like, the steak's a little bland. Isn't yours a little bit bland? She reaches over, pours a little bit of salt on there. He didn't see it. He eats it. Next thing you know, he's flipping out. If it's Rogue across from him, she can handle her own. I'm just saying. I'd pay to see it. I would. I'd pay to see it.
Such a horrible scenario. But yeah, that would be great to see. Especially now with some of their latent abilities have kind of come up where Rogue doesn't have to touch you now to pull your power. Mm. She just needs to be near you. And with the Hulk being able to absorb gamma radiation, there's this tug of war thing that I can see going back and forth. But beyond that, I mean, just seeing her punch him through a building and then he like retaliate. Yeah, that's great. It's not going to be pretty though. Like, I don't even know where we'd have to go somewhere else to kind of watch from like a satellite. Cause
Mars again. Mars. We're just dropping them off. Like, it's okay. So when I was in college, I had this whole idea for a movie called Battle Royale. So this is obviously even before I actually saw Battle Royale with the kids. You know, Hunger Games original. Right. I had to drop that in there. But so I had this idea for Battle Royale where it was like my favorite strong like superheroes and anime characters and everything in a match, like in a mesh. And I remember talking to one of my friends about it. It was in the arts department. And he was like, how would you be able to get a movie? Like, how would you be able to write a script like this? You would need licensing. You would need rights from all of these universes and all of these companies. And I was like, yeah, let's work on that. Never did it. The point is, never happened. But the point is, it's something that I would want to see. And so, yeah, we would have some sort of off-Earth stage setting, you know. Maybe some Namek-like planet. I don't know. Where there's Dragon Balls, we can just wish everything back to normal after they're done destroying it. Something like that.
Shinran ain't coming over there. He's like, man, I am not messing with these two.
No, he's not. Why didn't we never use Shenron to create a new set of Dragon Balls for every planet?
You know, I think the writing for that was like, there's limitations. Because when they did Dragon Ball Super, they showed the Super version of Shinran. Mm-hmm. And he could do a lot more. I think that's why.
Mm, yeah, I need to talk to Toriyama-san about that. Anyway. Okay, so my last was Kirito versus Kenshin. And I'm going to be fair to Kenshin in this. Kirito versus Kenshin in Kirito's digital world. So since we know that Kenshin's dead, Kirito's still alive for all we know. Kenshin died. Okay, spoiler alert. All you guys didn't know this. I'm sorry. You know now. Kenshin's dead. Okay, so clearly, I mean, the year is 2020. Kenshin would have died a long time ago. Hello? But if you didn't know, if you only watched regular Kenshin and you never watched Samurai X, sorry, y'all. He's dead. I recommend you watch it. It's terrible. It's so sad. Moving along, if we get Kenshin to come back to life via the digital world, I would love to see him fight Kirito. I just think it would be kind of cute. Like, almost in a, like, Nintendo-y type way. Mm. Like, you know, not necessarily battle to the death, because Kirito is, like, a, you know, he fights with two swords, but remember when Kenshin fought the dude who had the twin Kodachi? Like, Kenshin can fight anybody, and Kirito at this point can fight anybody, too. Kirito is, like, Kenshin and Goku kind of had a baby in his digital world, because, like, he always... Like, he can lose. He can fight and lose. Like, obviously, he starts off amazing, beating everybody. And then he can, like, fight and lose. And the next thing you know, he figures it out. And then he's, like, he can beat anybody. So, yeah. Kind of thought, you know, the man in black, like, kind of unassuming. Nobody really expects Kirito to be this great swordsman. He's so small. Kenshin's also super small and unassuming. You wouldn't really think that he was the actual, you know, Batosai. And I'm like, I'd pay to see this. I'd pay to see Kenshin fight a lot of people, to be honest.
Yeah, he's pretty dope. I was thinking about him versus the guy from Samurai Champloo, the samurai, the more calm samurai.
Jin.
I think they have similar styles. Well, at least in terms of demeanor, similar demeanors. I think that would be a cool fight too. I remember him fighting.
I think Kenshin would win.
I don't know.
I
I think he's such a good fight. And then, like, because I remember he fought the blind guy in the forest, the bamboo forest. Like, that was so great. He was
Oh,
totally,
so good.
yeah, he was totally outmatched, but he was able to outthink him, kind of. And I think that kind of comes into play too when they're with their sword play, and not so
Yeah.
much just physical skill. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, it would. No, you're right. It would be great. And I think about it. I'm thinking about it right now because I at the end of the day, it's like you know what kind of swordsman Jin is at heart.
Yeah.
And I feel like his personality and his swordsmanship played through the series. Now, I don't want to just say expectantly because he got more amazing. You got to see the more roughness of Jin. You got to see the side of Jin that matched what's his face? Mugen. You
Yeah,
know?
yeah.
Like because Mugen has a like just innate talent for fighting and he loves fighting. He doesn't mind beating anybody up. In fact, the way Mugen fights reminds me of the actual Kenshin live action movie when what's his name? The one with the spiky hair is fighting the Shinsengumi guy. I can't remember, it doesn't matter. But you know, it's like it was just like, let me use this, let me throw this shoe at you, let me spin on my back, that kind of stuff. And you saw how Jin was so refined. But then as the story goes on, you see that Jin has these brutal moments inside of him that he just like pulls from. And I love that because Kenshin had those too. You had to get him to that point. He put all of that away. And then you have to get him, you have to bring the demon out of him. That's what they called him, you know?
Yeah, because he wouldn't kill anyone, like, for the
I, yeah.
longest.
Yeah. And so I'm at that point where I'm believing that even though Jin may like you might think that Jin won, like at the end you might think Jin won, and the next thing you know, like you see Jin like kind of slowly fall to the ground, and then he realizes he's bleeding from somewhere he did not know he was bleeding from, and he just like pass out, and then like 30 minutes later Kenshin gets up. He was playing dead. We saw what happened to Kenshin when he fought Shishio. Remember he got hit with the bomb, like if the powder came
Yeah.
in front of him, and then it was like next thing you know, he like woke up. And I see that happening. I'm like, yeah, I'm really sorry you thought you could fight Kenshin. He's effing Kenshin. He's the Basosai. Anyway, so yeah, that's the end of my list. It was a great list. We had some really great fights we'd pay for.
Definitely, definitely. And I know there's some that we're missing. If we had time, we could definitely jump into a couple of more,
Yeah.
especially on the comedic side. I have some really good ones from Marvel versus DC that I have in my pocket just in case we, come back to this
Ooh,
topic.
is it?
But yeah, like, this has been an awesome show. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed all the versus talk. So that seems to be the thing. That's the reason why I got my Instagram account. I wanted to see the verses with Timbaland and Swiss Beats. They got me. They got me. I never really wanted one. So there you go. But yeah, we had a good time and hopefully you did too. Feel free to subscribe and hit the little notification bell so you can be kind of up on all the content that we're producing. Definitely check out the other content on the website, unitedfrontgaming.com, as well as our YouTube page. There's going to be some interesting things coming up in the future. I don't want to spoil it too much, but I just say you definitely want to subscribe going forward. Outside of that, feel free to follow us on all the socials and such. You can check us out on Facebook. You can check us out on Twitter. The site is u_f_g. My Twitter is Kenny UFG, is same as the Instagram. And you can follow Tess at MessyTessie_Bakes. And yeah, we would like to hear more from you about because I've seen people comment. I have. And for the most part, it's like, good job. And that's swell. But I kind of want some more. Like, if you have, like, maybe you didn't like a segment. I'm cool with that, as long as you're respectful. Or maybe you want us to elaborate more on something. There's something that we talked about, but we didn't go in depth into. I would definitely want to, go back and, read through the tapes and kind of do that for you. Or you just have something else that you want to say. kind of a shout out in sorts, yeah, do that. We would like to hear from you and see what you're thinking, what you're watching, how's your life going with this whole COVID thing? Like, yeah, we kind of want to hear from you. So definitely leave a comment, and follow and leave comments there. Follow me though, because Tess doesn't check. So follow me, and
Right.
yeah, we'll get back to you. Any housekeeping notes from your from you?
The only other thing that I wanted to mention was that apparently HBO Max is going to be streaming what's on Crunchyroll, so that's another way for people to watch any titles. Yeah,
Oh.
so they're going to go up in direct competition with Netflix, since Netflix is basically doing exactly what people, like anime fans, actually wanted done in the year 2001.
Right.
Yeah, HBO is basically like, let me capitalize on this too. So I just heard that today. It was on like The Verge and something else that HBO Max is going to be starting to show titles that are on Crunchyroll.
Well, that's see, there you go. See, I need to look into that because that could maybe I can get two for one. Well, we'll talk later. We'll talk later. So,
Exactly.
anyways,
All
again,
right. Yeah.
thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, everybody, we hope to see you next week. Have a good night. Bye-bye.